And we are live. What's going on, everybody? My name is Wallace Santos, CEO and founder from Anger Computers, and I'm with
Ron Reed, Technical Marketing Director. Welcome to On the Bench. This is our weekly show where we talk about the latest in tech, the latest in main gear, and just kind of what we're interested in the news. And first of all, thank you to NVIDIA for powering this live stream. I am so excited for the stream today because it's been a long time,
a lot of work.
A lot of like not being able to tell you guys like something really cool that we are like working on. We've hinted at some stuff for a while.
Yeah.
But we can finally share the details. I'm so excited.
Let's just jump into it.
I'm so excited.
That's what Philip DeFrangle says. But
you didn't do like the hand motion or like the weird kind of mannerisms.
Let's just jump right into it. As you guys can probably see, we have new chairs. Right.
I'm gonna stand up for a second.
Yeah, let me. Let's show it.
Just so we can show them live. We'll show some pictures and some video.
Let's take that out.
There you go.
So today is an exciting day because we're introducing the Main Gear Forma lineup of chairs, and the Forma has been 8 months plus of work, Ron.
I think
about a year of work.
I cannot keep track because like we put so much of our like heart and soul into this project.
Yeah.
It's been exciting and fun and I'm glad we could finally.
I mean, you guys stayed here late multiple nights just to get this done.
But it's here.
And it's here. Yeah. So
we kind of teased this. We did a crowd raise through Net Capital.
That's right.
And part of our vision for this raise was to kind of afford us the opportunity to kind of expand what we do, right? So we build the world's best PCs, gaming PCs, notebooks, but we wanted to be able to allow you guys to touch our brand in different ways and take the expertise we've developed over these years in, you know, enthusiast design, gaming, and our passion for design and kind of apply it to not just computers.
Well, tell them the truth, Ron. the idea is simple, right? We bought some gaming chairs and they sucked, and then we decided to design our own. That's kind of the truth, but the truth is, your seating position when you're gaming or when you're working during productivity or entertainment is very important, right? Everything from the ergonomics of typing on a keyboard to actually holding a mouse, there's fatigue that gets created over time. And we thought, you know, we're going to expand our brand and offer these different products that are, you know, it's not typically what we normally do. Let's just design something cool and something that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah.
And the first of many products is the Forma. The Forma gaming chair is available in two sizes, Forma R and Forma GT. Okay. Forma R is the standard size, and the GT is a little bit bigger.
I will say that the R, though, is very accommodating to different body types. Like, I'm a bigger dude. I'm pretty comfortable right now.
And you're sitting on the R.
Sitting on the R. So... Yeah. It's not one of those like really tight chairs that's like uncomfortable. Like we wanted to optimize it for like a wide range of body types. So the R is great for that. And the GT is the bigger chair that definitely, for anyone will definitely kind of fit. So chat's asking, we are both sitting in R's. I'm sitting in the Nero, colorway,
black Aspen
and red. And then Wallace's favorite all white.
See that?
Aspen.
I love another thing too is the colors of the chairs, right? Like, I looked for different colored chairs. I really like white chairs.
Brent is creeping around with
Brent's creeping with the GT.
I guess we could put the GT in between us, Brent.
Can we? Yeah, can we fit?
Oh yeah, Brent isn't allowed on camera.
Brent's the. Let me get this over here.
Yeah. And
you guys will never find out who Brent is. He's our secret man.
And
he's like our Stig.
Regesto Steam. My chat went back. You say in chat are asking, just repost the question again.
There you go. This is the GT.
So it's very like the I would say like the for me the
It looks small, but it's not.
The R
sending me
the R is like very like sleek. The GT is a little more elegant, I would say, like with the kind of diamond stitching.
Yeah, it looks like a classic, like a high-end vehicle racing seat.
Yeah, they're like, it looks like it has a smaller back, lol. Yeah, it's the wide-angle lens.
Yeah,
let me see if I can get it. Makes it smaller, but it's bigger, it's taller.
And here's the thing, right? We're going to dive into the details of these Forma. But the idea was simple. We wanted to design something that would be of high quality, something that would solve a problem, right? In this case, is ergonomics. And I'll post a video on my Instagram later on after the stream, where we actually tested these chairs. We use the same company that does pressure point testing and heat retention testing. And I mean, we did all sorts of ergonomics testing, right? To make sure that we actually designed the product that would work.
We can explain that now. So
okay, let's just dive into the details.
So
let's dive right into it.
We'll start with with kind of the scientific testing that we did on the chairs, which is super cool. So essentially, we did a full body pressure mapping of the chairs themselves. So basically, we had sensors across the entire surface of where you're going to sit. And what it did was it measured the pressure variation between your contact points in the body. So what actually makes a chair comfortable is uniformity and low pressure regardless of where your body is touching it. So this little map we're showing on screen shows.
I gotta laugh because that's actually a heat map of Ron's behind.
It's not heat, it's pressure.
Oh, a pressure map of Ron's behind.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. So if you guys want to see the shape of Ron's behind, there you go, guys. That's literally the photo, the screenshot.
Lagby asked if I was wearing a G-string. but basically, what it shows is that you're gonna notice on that map there's the color is very uniform, and so what that means is that there's consistent low pressure where I was sitting on the chair. So what we did was we went through design variations and we tried different foam densities, materials, seating positions. We did the testing itself with us kind of moving around in the chair to make sure if I'm like heavily biased to one side, is it going to be comfortable?
Right.
And what that meant is that we didn't just like, okay, this looks cool. We wanted it to be super comfortable, and it scientifically is super comfortable.
That's right.
Like from a measurable standpoint, it is a completely balanced low pressure point chair, so that you know, we're all gamers here, right? So I've been playing Spider-Man lately. You know, I might sit and play for 4.5 hours straight. I don't want to be sitting there and I'm like, oh man, like there's a spot on the back of my leg, or those little things when you're playing kind of take you out of the experience.
It's you know, it's funny, Ron. The Forma made me just want to get home and game again.
Yeah.
I
can totally understand what you're saying.
It's just I get home because I sit for most of my day and I have a stand up desk here at work. So I get to stand up and sit down throughout the whole day. Yeah. And when I get home, frankly, I just don't want to sit down again, right, on a chair. And because it's so comfortable, and especially with this, right? So
yeah, and I'll take out the one behind me as
this
well.
This is actually memory foam, and it's extremely comfortable. We also have the backrest for it, too.
Okay, you got yours.
There you go. And this makes a huge difference. Like, the backrest and the memory foam, made out of memory foam, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, it's micro fleece, so it's very soft.
And you're right. It's
you'll see chair pillows that are like these small, kind of firm, leather covered pillows, and they're like terrible. And that was a major concern for us, is like we wanted everything to be comfortable, and we didn't want to just include a pillow because, you know, oh, a pillow comes with a chair.
Right.
No, we wanted the best pillow, the most comfortable pillow. And we also did the testing, the scientific testing with the pillows in place as well, to make sure regardless of the way you were utilizing the chair, that you were going to have that same kind of experience.
And it removed even more pressure when we put the pillow, right?
It was surprising. We didn't expect that.
Yeah.
But it changed your posture a bit. It actually, even, you know, there was, the variations were like a tenth of a, like, I guess PSI for pressure. And the variations were tiny, and it even flattened it out even more. It was really impressive.
Yeah, and everything matters, right? So from the way we design the chairs to the aesthetics, of course, to the warranty, right? And let's talk about that for a second. So we did a partnership with Micro Center.
Yeah.
If you guys are not familiar with Micro Center stores, it's probably geek heaven.
Absolutely.
Like if you go into a Micro Center store, think of like of a, I don't know, 100,000 square foot building with just a ton of DIY, build your own stuff and built PCs.
I just want to say welcome Regesto. He said he never heard of us before, but we've got a pretty banging website. Welcome to the stream.
What's up, Regesto?
Thanks for coming and hang out with us.
And you know, these chairs are obviously available because we announced it. They're available in every store today as of now. So you can walk into a store right now and purchase one. But here's the cool part, which has never been done before. These chairs are going to get warrantied in the store as well.
That's so cool.
Right. So typically, if you buy a gaming chair from anybody else, if something goes wrong with the chair, something breaks, things can happen, right? You have to ship that chair back to the manufacturer and wait and have downtime, possibly wait a month to get your chair back. With Mingear Forma, you can just walk right into a Micro Center store as long as you have your receipt, proof of purchase, either from us or from them. They'll warranty it on the spot. They'll either fix it on the spot or they'll give you a brand new one, which is huge because it's instant satisfaction.
Of course. Right?
It was part of the deal that we closed with them. And
it was a huge motivating factor for us choosing them. Like obviously they're because of their position and what they stand for, they're like a logical retail partner for us to pick because they represent what we love. But I think the warranty portion was like a big driving thing for us when it came to kind of picking them as our retail partner for the chair.
Yeah, no, it's perfect match. So yeah, it's got the best warranty in the industry. It has the best materials. It's got true ergonomics that we worked on, and we made sure that it's functional. It's not just beautiful, and you know. And it's made by us, right? So it's got really clean branding, where it just says Mingear in the front, right? And then it has the Gear logo in the back. And by the way, to make sure it's authentic, there's a little tag in every chair in the back here, a little cloth tag, which will show you that it's a true Mingear chair. But yeah, that's the Forma R, and we're excited about it.
Let me go over some of the like key features. So like you mentioned, Wallace, we invested so much time into picking materials, picking foam, designing the look, the comfort, that I never thought I would know so much about a chair.
We obsessed about chairs, man.
But that's what I think has kind of always set us apart in the industry when it came to desktops, like is our obsessiveness when it came to the little attention to details. So here are just some kind of call outs of some of the stuff that's in there. So the chair itself has a rigid tubular steel interior, and specifically we picked durable external materials. So we wanted this to be something that you could game often, game hard, and have last you a long time. We have supportive and soft cold cured molded foam. That's what provides the comfort and the support that you get when you sit in the chair. It's covered in a very supple leatherette material, as well as the Forma R has a synthetic suede in the middle for increased durability and comfort as well.
That's right. And the suede makes a huge difference too, right? I don't know, it just feels better.
Yeah. No, it's awesome.
Yeah.
The stitching is like laser precise. It's got an aluminum alloy base, ultra quiet nylon wheels, a class 4 hydraulic piston. So that's for safety and reliability.
Let's talk about the piston. Let's talk about the wheels, right? Yeah. So we evaluated
so many wheels,
like a ton of wheels, including my first initial idea was to use ABEX 7 rollerblade wheels.
Because it feels premium. Like it seems like it's like, oh, this is the upgraded kind of better option.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, while in theory the rollerblade wheels were cool.
I guess, right? If you're like rolling down a hill.
Right, 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 exactly. And they're quiet too. And I thought, look, it's going to be quiet. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, smoother, right? Once we implemented the roller blade wheels, which some people are selling, we noticed that it was very hard to shift positions or to go from left to right. You get stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get stuck.
Yeah.
So it proved that my theory was, you know, faulty. And we ended up selling on the nylon wheels.
We tested different size wheels, quiet. Different bearings.
Yeah.
We tried whatever we could, and the nylon ones were the most kind of overall, depending, like regardless of the surface of your floor. They were quiet, they're durable, and they're very smooth. For customization, so all of us game in a different position, right? Some people are going to be leaning back, some people are leaning forward. Sometimes you just want to kind of lean back and relax in your chair. We wanted, you know, our part of our ethos with PCs is customizability, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted you to be able to like personalize your comfort. So it has 165 degrees of reclining.
Should I do the PewDiePie thing right now?
If you want to do it on air, it's up to you. There's cables and stuff, so I don't know if I recommend it.
Well, we'll just do it right now. So you can.
They probably can't hear you. I will narrate.
Yeah, so you can lounge this chair all the way back. It'll lay down pretty much flat. Yeah,
and it's very stable too.
And you can sleep. So if you bring it to like QuakeCon or something, you don't have to rent a hotel room.
You can take a nap.
There you go.
Full tilt capability. So the tilt of the actual base is adjustable as well. It has what's called 4D adjustable armrests, right? So the armrests adjust forward and backwards, side to side, up and down, and then they tilt. So you can, regardless of...
You can position it perfectly for you.
Wherever you are, it's like, it's completely perfect. And then the pillows as well allow you to even further kind of customize, depending on whether you like to sit deep into a chair or a little bit further forward, you can kind of customize it. So... We thought of everything that we could to make sure that
even the out of box experience,
it's as comfortable as it can
everything.
Be.
Everything, even the out of box experience, even the box stands out. So when you go to a Micro Center store and you see the big red box in the center of the floor there, that's probably a main gear box.
And guys in chat, let us know what your favorite is, the Forma R or the GT, and then if the R, which color?
I have a question here. It's from Jason. I'm 6'4", 215 pounds. Should I get the GT? So technically, the Forma R will suffice. It would be the perfect size for you. If you're only 200 pounds, then you know it's Forma R. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
But the GT or the R will work.
The only difference with the GT for you would be that the back headrest is higher.
Yep.
So for taller people, if you're a person that leans back a lot,
that's
might
a good point.
That might be a better option just from that.
Actually, I don't think I can. It probably can't show here.
Yeah, so Brent is 6'2", and he said both chairs are good.
Don't give too much information about Brent.
Height, weight, age.
Brent, no, don't, blood type. Don't. Brent. We don't even know who Brent is. How are we supposed to know this? He's a ghost.
But I mean, I think the one thing I just personally wanted to stress is like having been deeply involved in the process, both of us. It's hard to portray the amount of thought that went into every choice
crazy.
For the chair design. It more than I thought when we began the process.
I mean, everything from designing something that we've never designed before to obsessing over the details of it and becoming experts at it, right, in a matter of a year.
Yeah.
To designing the packaging, right, which is completely different than designing packaging for a PC, to even you photographing.
Everything was...
Products, right? Like this. It's so different.
Speaking of photographs, so chat is guessing that Brent is the person on the Forma page playing a game, and that's actually Joe, one of our builders.
That is not Brent. That's Joe.
That is Joe. I had to steal him away from building a super stock F-131. He actually
Joe's a cool cat. He actually has some nice tattoos on his.
Yep.
And he's got the sleeve going on.
And it's funny, too, because, like, the system in the photo, much like we tell the story that all the pictures on our website are customer PCs, he built that PC, finished it, said, hey, Ron, I'm ready, brought the PC over, and then I did the photograph. So that's actually a customer's F-131 That's in the shot. So
everything on our website is basically customer builds. We see it, we like it, we bring it to the photo room, we take a photo.
Yeah, and I see some people saying like, oh, it'd be kind of cool if there's Aspen with red stitching. This is the start of our chairs. We would love feedback on any other colors that you guys would like really want, because we would love to, if there's a huge demand for a specific color scheme, it's definitely something we would consider.
Absolutely.
So if you reply to this now, maybe we'll do like a poll too, but if you reply to this now on Facebook or in chat, we'll see it and we'll kind of make a note, because we definitely kind of want to follow what you guys are looking for. Because at the end of the day, like our page says, like, we created a chair for enthusiasts. If you're a PC builder, if you're a hardcore gamer, you're a hardcore content creator, like, enthusiast basically means someone that over what they enjoy.
That's right.
And we're enthusiasts, and this chair was created for people that are obsessive about what they're doing. So we would love your feedback. I could talk about this all day, but we probably shouldn't. Yeah. Oh, okay. So Forma starts, it's $350.
I forgot the most obvious. I know. Right? It's $349.99.
So price competitively, actually, to be honest, at least in my opinion, I think you agree, for the quality, it's priced very well.
Yeah, yeah. And look, part of designing a product like this is we need to make hard decisions, right, on the materials that we use and the costs, right, of these materials. For example, if we designed a chair like this with real leather,
oh, it would be like $1,000.
It would be $1,000. Yeah. So we thought it was smart to use a leatherette, right, which gives you the durability and the look and feel.
Something we learned during the process is like most even high end car manufacturers are using synthetic leathers because of durability and things like that. Anyway.
So like a Tesla, that's what a Tesla uses.
It's not like a it's not a downgrade.
Yeah.
In the material testing that we've actually done.
Yeah. So no cows were harmed during this process, which is cool.
Except for maybe like the burgers or stuff we use to fuel ourselves. But besides that,
maybe some were harmed during the design process.
But yeah, it's available now on our website. And then if you want to see it in person, it's on Micro Center's site.
Yep.
Micro
Center stores. So it's microcenter.com. Or if you have a local Micro Center by you, you could just walk into any Micro Center and they're available now. And you can sit on the chair and actually test it and play around with it.
See how amazingly
compare it to all the other chairs that are there.
We're confident in that.
That's right. That's right. I urge you to. And then shoot us a message.
Yeah. So if you guys have any questions, let us know. But we're excited, and I think you guys should be too. This thing is a work of art, and I'm very proud that we've kind of done something.
Like our baby. Our baby was just born.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's it for the chair this week. There's a little bit of tech news that we'll kind of go over. To start with, it's a very hard transition. The Threadripper 2 2920X and 2970WX came out. So these are the CPUs that kind of round out Threadripper stack.
So it completes the AMD stack of CPU offerings.
Exactly.
I'm assuming the core counts is what really differentiates. I know what the specs are, right?
12 core and then a 24 core. So
now we have a 12, we have a 16
yeah.
core, we have a 24 and a 32 core.
Yes. And what's
that's juicy.
What's cool is this puts you in a it's an interesting starting point for Threadripper, because the 2920 is inexpensive. It's like $649.
For what it is, it's a huge deal. It's a big bargain.
Yeah. So it
and what's the clock speeds on that?
I don't know. I don't have that written down. I don't want to say incorrectly. It's not going to be as fast as it's a 3.5 gigahertz base and a 4.3 max boost, and then the 2970. This will take me a second. I apologize. It's hard to keep track of the boost differences, and that's why I don't want to say incorrectly. The 2970 is 3 gigahertz base with a 4.2 max boost.
So it's a 4.2 max and 3.30 base.
And that's $1,299 for 24 cores, 48 threads.
Damn.
But there's something even cooler that they did that I think we should talk about, which is they introduced a new piece of software to the Radeon suite called Dynamic Local Mode. So we talked about one of the challenges with the 32-core Threadripper and the 24-core is that the I want to go too in depth, but basically the way the CPU was architected, some of the cores were not directly connected to memory. They were connected to memory via NVIDIA fabric.
So isn't half the cores, I believe?
Yeah.
Half the cores. Yeah.
And what that meant is if the program wasn't optimized in order to thread the application correctly, you might get lower performance if it was adding, like, if you had, like, say you didn't need all the cores and the instructions ended up on the secondary cores that weren't directly connected, you might end up getting a little bit lower performance. AMD is working to solve this problem with a new part of their software suite called dynamic local mode that basically acts
as the ball today, Ron.
I know. as a scheduler for windows and tasks, and it threads the CPU itself.
So it's automatic.
It's automatic.
And that was probably my biggest complaint about the 32-core part was the fact that you had to set it to game mode, or you had to set it.
And you had to reboot.
And you had to reboot, which was, to me, was kind of cumbersome.
Yep.
But this solved that problem, huh?
Yep. I need to see some, like, a little bit more detail on, like, how it runs and stuff like that.
That's
but
exactly what we needed.
I think it's cool that AMD is trying to, like, overcome because in reality, Windows should kind of handle this itself.
Well, Windows handles what it knows.
Right, but it should kind of thread. I guess it's complicated.
Infinity Fabric came out after Windows.
I guess that's true. I guess that's true, yeah.
So, like, it'll probably work itself out over time.
You're right. You're definitely right.
Yeah.
But it's good that, like, AMD kind of, like, has addressed the issue. I think it makes it a little bit more flexible, especially the 24-core, because the price is very competitive if you do core comparison counts.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a great value processor for that many cores and that many threads, especially if you have workloads that are really going to flood the CPU with and maximize the threads. So
this is not just for the 32-core part. This is for the 24 as well.
Yeah, it's for WX designated CPUs.
Okay.
Which is currently the 2970 and the 2990.
But the memory bandwidth limitation does not apply to the non-WX parts.
Correct.
So that makes sense. So AMD is assuming that the people purchasing the WX parts probably know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have your specific use case. For example, if you're like rendering video and you're CPU heavy, the 32-core would probably make sense for you.
Exactly.
Then if you know that you're going to play a game, up until now, you would have to enable AMD's game mode through the software.
Restart the computer. Right.
And then it disables a couple of cores, and it optimizes those cores and clocks them higher so it can run your game better. Not that it will run the game crappy without the game mode. It'll still run the game fine, but you're just not going to get the same perf.
And keep in mind, too, is like most of those numbers are in CPU-bound situations, which is if you're gaming at 1080p, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Once you get up to like 2K and 4K.
That's another thing, too, that boggles my mind. Like, why are we even testing 1080p game? You know, I don't know. Like,
I'm sure Sean is clapping right now.
Who rocks a 1080p monitor? I mean, it's seriously, right? Like, does anybody use a 1080p monitor? Is anybody in the chat here using 1080p monitor? This is an honest question.
I have a very expensive IPS sRGB display.
Okay.
That is not 2K. And I haven't replaced it because I edit in Lightroom on it, and it's just a great screen.
Right.
And
That's a 1080p screen?
It's a weird resolution.
1440p maybe?
It's like it's 1920 by 1200. It's like a screwy weird resolution.
Yeah.
So and some people, I didn't jump on the 4K stream yet. I've got really big 1080p monitor, mismarketed.
I mean, I don't think most people need a 4K monitor as of right now.
No, 2K is...
2K is probably the perfect...
Plenty.
Yeah, it's the perfect...
I blame
spot to be.
We had a conversation about this in the office the other day. I blame monitor manufacturers. Like, there's not enough differentiation in price between 2K and 4K.
Mm-hmm.
We never saw, like, when 1080p came out, it was very expensive, and 720p monitors were inexpensive. Then down the road, 1080p monitors really dropped in price. Then we saw 2K for a while. 2K monitors were expensive. 4K monitors came out. And what's happened is like 2K monitors are like mid, like 4K monitors have dropped in price, mm-hmm. but they're only like a little more expensive than 2K monitors, and it's made the market weird.
But the problem is that the 4K monitors are underperforming compared to the 2K monitors, right? So like refresh rates definitely lower.
There's some display quality.
Display
things.
Quality. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even pushing the pixels in a game, you need probably a 2080 Ti to push a 4K monitor or two.
If you don't want to think about frame rate,
yeah.
A 2080 Ti will give you like very healthy frame rates that you don't have to think about.
In a 4K screen.
On a 4K screen.
Unless you're a baller and you get the new G-Sync HDR 144 hertz 4K screens
yeah.
for $2,000, and then that's the ultimate experience you deserve to... You deserve it. You deserve it. No, seriously, that screen is impressive. But it's just...
It's amazing, yeah.
I spoke to Asus about that screen the other day. Actually, when it launched. Right, so when that screen launched, I said, look, why is this screen? Why are you guys charging so much money for a screen? And they explained to me the manufacturing process of that screen. Essentially, they don't get as many healthy panels out of a batch.
Yep.
So they can't scale their manufacturing process as of right now. From what I understand, they're fine-tuning the yields. And as they get more yields, as it yields better, they're going to be able to drop the prices on those screens specifically.
It's going to take time, and their manufacturing processes will get better. And
this is the Asus. What's the screen?
I really wish Asus monitor manufacturers
4K HDR.
I wish it was called like the. I hate model numbers on monitors. It's probably like PQW.
You're right. It's the ROG Swift. 27 inch HDR 1000 maybe, I'm not sure.
It's gonna have some weird
it's the Asus ROG Swift 27 inch. It's the PG27UQ. That is the best monitor money can buy. The panel quality is amazing. The it's got G-Sync, it's got HDR, it's got 4K, yeah. And it's what's the refresh rate in this guy?
It's probably high.
144 hertz.
Real Sony asked, and this kind of segues into what we're talking about. Are there any big differences between the GTX 1080 Ti and the RTX 2080 Ti? Yeah, like 25-30% performance.
there's a performance difference, and then there's also a technological difference too, right? So, I mean, there's Ron knows the list of things, but you get ray tracing, you get dynamic
DLSS.
DLSS.
Yeah.
You know, some people are saying, oh, but no games have this technology yet, so why am I paying a premium? Well, games are coming. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, I've seen the technology in action. About a month ago or 3 weeks ago, I was at the NVIDIA headquarters, and I got to see it in action, and it's amazing. It's game-changing. It's just a matter of time before the developers optimize the games to take advantage of the RTX series.
Wait, and I've started noticing I've started noticing how bad reflections are in games because of NVIDIA. It's really frustrating.
Yeah.
Now
you're paying attention to it, right?
I was watching Sean play a game,
he's talking about ray tracing specifically right
now. So ray tracing is the crux of kind of RTX, and what it means is real-time reflections, real-time lighting effects that are based on the game engine basically utilizing the RTX cores on the graphics card to trace light rays, like millions of them, through the scene and realistically generating what light would do, which includes reflections and the way it illuminates a scene. So watching Sean play this game, I noticed that as he's running through the water, the reflection was pre-rendered. And what they did, it's so funny. I've never seen this before because I've never paid attention. it had three reflection states. So as you walk through the lake, you see the house in full frame. And then you reach a point in the lake and it faded and a new reflection appeared, which was the closer to the house reflection.
Yeah.
And then as you got under it, it faded and a new reflection appeared.
So see, these are things you never paid attention to before, but now you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, that's not right. It's not right. And frankly, a lot of the developers do a great job with faking it, right? But now reflections are real. No, that's the real deal.
Yeah, and the game
what are we showing right now?
It was the Hunt Showdown, by the way.
This is with RTX on. Yeah, I was about to say, it looks like it's on. What is it, 60,000 triangles? What is this, 15 years ago, doubling the triangles? It's doubling triangles.
I have no idea. But it's funny because, like, it's one of those things that you never notice, and now that you know it, like, that's terrible. That bugs me.
It's now you know. And same thing with the tears, the horizontal tears. I never noticed it until NVIDIA introduced G-Sync.
Yeah.
And once I try G-Sync.
You can't go back.
You try a regular game, you go back to a regular monitor, and you see that tearing, you're like, well, what is this?
Right? Yeah.
So it's pretty dope. That game looks so good. Look at that.
I know, I can't wait. We'll transition straight into that. So Battlefield, the PC specs came out, official PC specs for Battlefield 5.
RTX 2080 Ti SLI max minimum.
So here are the minimum specs versus recommended. So minimum specs is Windows 10, obviously, a Ryzen 3 1300X or an i7 4790 or equivalent, 12 gigs of RAM. That's weird. NVIDIA GTX 1060 on the minimum I guess that's actually recommended. And then AMD 580.
So it's 1060 3 gig or 6 gig?
Probably
the 3 gig.
That's why 6 gigs actually.
6 gig
is the recommended. This is the recommended spec, not the minimum spec.
Okay.
Minimum requirements are an i5 6600K, 8 gigs of RAM, and a 1050 or 660.
Yeah, but that spec, you probably have to run the game at 1080p.
Yeah.
Right. If you have like a 2K monitor, you probably need a minimum of like a 1060, 6 gig, 1070, like to run at 2K maybe.
And they also release minimum spec recommended specs for ray tracing, which they up the spec a little bit for the overall system. So it was a Ryzen 7 2700 or an i7 8700, 16 gigs of RAM, and obviously an RTX 2070.
It's like the new Crysis, man. It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. I'm excited for just to see this new technology running in person. What other news there was? This is the funniest. There's always been a joke that people only use Bing to install Chrome.
Oh, my God. I saw that, dude, and I just can't believe it.
So Bing...
It wasn't Bing, was it? Or what? Or did they allow...
Bing? No.
Get out of here.
Okay, let me double check. I want to say exactly the way... So there was an ad running at the top of the list in Bing that was going to a fake site that was installing malware instead of Chrome.
It wasn't... like they didn't catch...
malicious ad...
Well, the way the media spun it, it was as if Bing was purposely.
Right.
Well, no, I read a headline somewhere and like
that's ridiculous to even consider that they would do that on purpose.
Right, but like when I saw this headline, I'm like, okay, Microsoft would never purposely put out a virus or malware to affect Chrome users or whatever. And it was somebody that took out an ad, right? And it's happened in the past, even with Google. But that sucks. I feel bad for them. I don't feel bad for them, but whatever.
It's funny, though. It's why you got to be cringe. I just went to the URL, and it's just like Chrome goes totally red, and it's like deceptive sight ahead. I'm curious how it got through their stuff. Usually, I know like Google has like a very good database of like malicious sites, and it does a good job of like finding that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Someone's asking if they have an issue with a Nomad, if it can be sent in. All of our systems, we take care of our customers. So,
You should have warranty, brother. Yeah. Just give us a call or email us, support@mangear.com, and we'll take care of you.
The other thing I wanted to touch on is just how much Intel is kind of staffing up their graphics division. It's interesting to watch.
I'm wondering from a legal standpoint, if they can continue to do that.
So,
or if they have a secret agreement in place with AMD.
I'm assuming that these employees didn't have non-competes.
It's impossible.
Maybe.
Right.
Well, so
explain to people.
So this particular person was a marketing person at AMD that had left AMD and been working somewhere else.
It's Darren, right?
Yeah, that Intel had hired. Intel has also hired Raja, who was running the Radeon side of AMD. Chris Hook, and hired Jim Keller, who was an engineer.
Jim Keller's good.
He's actually the head engineer behind, I think, the Ryzen stuff.
Yeah, they're cleaning house, right? So Intel wants to spin up their GPU business. They want to design a GPU for gamers. I think they're going to announce something probably in the near future.
Yeah, I don't think that they've hinted at any specific timing, but it's clear that they're serious about it. They're hiring
all the people from the AMD's
really interesting
GPU division, which is the ATI team, essentially. Which is kind of crazy because, I mean, you'd figured if you hire if you poach one employee, then you probably get away from it. They're like poaching the whole team.
It's interesting. So I guess my comment would be that glad Intel is taking this seriously and it's not like a hobby, like that they're really are putting, like, it could have been with the hype around gaming. This is a very political response, by the way.
I have something in my head, but I don't know if I should say it.
With the hype around gaming, it would be very easy to kind of jump on a bandwagon.
Yeah.
And we'll have a GPU because it's a hot thing. But it seems like, at least from their hiring and especially bringing Keller on board, that's the thing that stands out to me a lot, is that this is not clearly going to be an important part of their strategy and not just a Me Too kind of thing for Intel to do to kind of capitalize on gaming. So
if they want to make it really good, they should hire some NVIDIA guys too. It's going to be really dope.
A mixed cross section of the whole GPU side.
Some high end GPUs in there.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's very good to see that Intel is taking it seriously. And we could both agree that it's always good to have more competition. And
NVIDIA hasn't had any competition for a long time.
And I think everyone agrees about that in the industry. Even the person who's winning will agree that it's good to have companies push you forward. Look what happened with the Core Wars that's kind of happened in the last year or two.
Thanks to AMD,
right.
We have more than four cores in a consumer product now. It was thanks to AMD, right? If AMD didn't put the pressure on Intel with Ryzen, then Intel probably would have rode that wave as much as they could. From a business standpoint, it's totally understandable, right? I think AMD called it incrementalism.
I think so.
Yeah, that they actually formed a word for it. And essentially Intel is saying, hey, Moore's Law is a problem. We can't launch and shrink the CPU every year like we used to before, right? Or the die. So let's just extend it as much as we can. And that's what happened for a while because there was no competition. So AMD comes along and says, we'll just give you more cores, same price. Yep. Intel's like, whoa, we have to do the same. Yep.
And they reacted. The other thing too is I think there is a cool play for and AMD's done a little of this on the APU side, but I think they could do more. I think there's a interesting gap of having a vendor that does do chipsets and CPUs have a product as well. Like, I'm sure there's integrations that they could do.
I wish that if AMD has an AMD GPU, if a consumer purchases an AMD GPU, an AMD CPU with an AMD chipset, somehow it did something better.
Some magic.
Some type of extra.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, NVIDIA used to have the Enforce chipset. So NVIDIA made chipsets, guys. It's called the 680 Enforce.
Yeah.
And you know, when you would plug an NVIDIA GPU onto an NVIDIA motherboard with the NVIDIA chipset, it would overclock the front side bus.
Yeah.
It was like a you know, I think it gave you like 5 or 7% boost.
But that's awesome.
It wasn't like a big deal, but it did something. And it gave people the impression that it did something, right? So it would be cool if AMD figured out a way to make that work now, because Intel's probably thinking about that, right? Intel's probably thinking, if we design our own GPUs, can it work better with our CPUs?
Well, look at, like, AMD's done a pretty good job with their, I cannot remember talking about, the conversation used to always be about how frustrating AMD's driver experience and software experience was.
Yeah.
And they really fixed a lot of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have like a unified software platform that covers their parts. And I think it would be cool to see Intel, who knows what they can do with like maybe APU style products or things like that, that have GPUs integrated in, maybe like interesting small form factor stuff. Like I think.
Yeah. That's another thing where I wish I kind of saw from AMD too, was they have their APU, right? Which has Vega built into the CPU. So it's a Vega graphics chip with, I think it's Ryzen Core. Is it a Ryzen Core?
Yeah, it has to be.
And it's got a Ryzen Core together under one processor. So technically you should not need a dedicated GPU, right? I'm surprised AMD's not doing more with form factors. So you can buy an ITX board today, but I wish I can do more with that.
Well, they teased something forever ago.
Yeah, but it's not happening.
I know.
They have to enable us to be able to purchase that technology so we can design products around those form factors, right?
Yeah.
So it's a chicken or the egg situation.
Yep.
But they have the tools right now to do it. And then I assume that Intel will do the same.
Yeah. So that to me is like what's incredibly exciting about this. We'll see. I thought it was worth talking about just because it's one of those things we know very little about, and like any little bit of news is like, huh.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. And we really do not know anything about it because there's nothing to talk about yet.
Yeah, no.
There's no product.
I mean, but yeah, that's super cool. That's pretty much it. It was a light week.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
$725 million in 3 days.
That's more than movies.
That's crazy.
And the reviews are great.
Yeah. And guys, we are reading chat. So I see Super Miracles asking if you have a question, just let us know.
And Andrew, what's up? Andrew, Hilton, Jared, what's up? Tiago, saying.
Yeah.
Karen, Houston, hello.
But what a crazy launch. The reviews have been like universally like amazing. I need to finish Spider-Man before I start it.
Did you finish it? I mean, you're not done yet?
I'm at 68% of the way through the story in Spider-Man. The last 3 days have been me at 2.5. All I want to do is play Red Dead. So I'm trying to enjoy Spider-Man, but I'm trying to like I got to get through it because I have to play Red Dead. I love the first one so much, and it seems like all they did was approve everything. It's that magical like rock star attention to detail.
The graphics look great. The world seems like it's humongous.
It's absolutely enormous. It's
huge. There's like, I've been watching clips of it online. I haven't played it, by the way. And there's like one part where like this guy's about to talk to some guy on the road, and the deer comes and just like kicks his ass. And like,
it's like emergent gameplay.
Yeah, it's like, it's amazing.
I cannot wait. And Spiritual Miracle, who asked what we're all about. Main Gear, we build the world's best PCs and now the world's best gaming chairs. And we do this show once a week called On the Bench, where we just talk about news. Just really kind of hang out with you guys and talk about what we're interested in. what I'm interested in right now is playing some Red Dead. I need to finish Spider-Man and actually go through and
you need it.
Start the process. And there is like a someone was telling me like a really frustrating glitch if you make a certain decision in a story, like half of your camp disappears. So maybe look into that before you start playing just to see.
Somebody's asking a question here. Do you think Red Dead will show up on the PC? Well, it should, right? And this kind of sucks. It sucks that, you know, the console companies are creating this exclusivity thing because it was developed on a PC.
Right.
And it's going to run better on a PC. But it's one of those things where that's the big corporate guys trying to figure out a way to drive their console sales by creating exclusive content for their platform. So we hope soon.
I would guess realistically, if you look at, it's hard. So GTA 5 took what, like a, Brent, was it a year and a half or a year?
Yeah, like a year and a half.
But the thing is with GTA 5, they had to port the GTA engine. So they redid GTA 5 for the PS4 and Xbox One. And they had to port the engine to x86. So you would think that because the way the console...
That's when consoles were not on x86.
Right.
Now consoles are.
So you would think it's not a crazy amount of work, but it is a huge game.
It's bureaucracy, bro.
It probably is.
It's bureaucracy. What's up, Raul? Thanks for joining the stream.
It's
by the way, guys, check out
profits.
Unicorn.
Yeah, they had some huge announcements last week.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll let you kind of take the wheel on so you kind of maybe explain the relationship and then
so Raul Sood and Unicorn they're investors in Main Gear, so he's actually joining the stream right now. What up? And they just made some huge announcements last week. You know, unicorn.com, it's UNIKRN.com. Essentially, it's an esports betting platform where you can go in and bet on esports matches, right? So
I think it's more than that at this point. Like, it's also like
they're becoming
kind of
a
like
platform,
a huge esports destination.
Yeah.
For kind of everything, like they have an esports team. They do
big, yeah.
News on esports, like it's kind of like a big platform for esports fans. Like, there's more than just like going there to like kind of wager on like matches and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. And these guys are, I mean, they're ahead of the game, right? They're the only esports betting platform that's built on blockchain. So they have their own coin. It's called Unicorn Gold. And you can use this coin now in certain countries to bet on matches, right, for live betting.
What was it, Malta? They got the license for, which is like it's 20 European countries.
20 European countries, which is a huge deal.
Absolutely,
yeah,
huge.
Yeah. So definitely check them out. And then Raul's in the chat here too. So if you have any questions, definitely shoot some questions his way. And
they have
else?
They also you don't just have to do it with the coin. They have like a different tier called silver that you can earn by gaming through Connect. So basically, I think you run some software on your PC. It sees while you're gaming, and then as you game, you kind of earn those tokens, Unicorn Silver, and then you can then go and use that on the same platform too. And that's globally.
I guess a question for Elwood, if you earn silver, can you cash it in, or what can you do with the silver? Maybe I'll let him answer there in the chat.
I could be incorrect, and Raul, you can correct me, but I believe everything that you can do on the site, you can basically spend silver on. So like... the actual matches, I think you can use it for, I think they have some like giveaway kind of stuff too that you can use silver for. They have a way to trade skins in. It's a ton of functionality and it's worth checking out regardless. If you're into gaming and if you're into competitive
gaming.
Well,
it's funny because they're not doing just gaming. It seems like I saw some UFC stuff going on too.
They had they gave you the ability to wager on the McDavid and Habib.
McDavid.
McDavid.
McDavid. McDonough. McDonough.
McDavid's a Connor McDavid is a hockey player.
How did I know that? He's
currently the best hockey player on the Oilers. He's like the guy, and my mind gets them confused every single time.
It's funny because I think Andrew is on the stream. Andrew Valdez. He's a big McGregor fan.
Okay.
And I think I was making fun of him at one point or another. But yeah, when McGregor got messed up by Abib. It was pretty.
You could have wagered with Unicorn Silver.
Yeah, I would have won because I would have at the time. I don't think the platform was open yet for gold, but if you know at the time if it was open for gold, I would have bet anything I had on that fight. It's great.
So definitely check them out. They're a great partner of ours. They're doing lots of cool stuff over there. I think that's it. If you missed the top of the show, we got to announce our new Forma GT gaming chair, available on maingear.com, $349, fully in-house custom designed, world-class gaming chair designed for enthusiasts by enthusiasts, also available in your local Micro Center store. Make sure to follow us on social media. We're at maingear everywhere. We do this live stream we do this on Thursdays, and we try to do a game stream on Wednesdays. We're thinking about moving the time to this. It seems like, based on the viewership, that this is a good time time for our fans. So we might move this to 6.
Yeah, I like 6 o'clock better.
And answer one more question, Spiritual Miracle. How do you differentiate your guys from everyone else? And I think, Wallace, you can answer this with kind of what we differentiated with the chair in our own mentality.
Is he asking about
the product
as a company? Yeah. Well, we're obsessive with everything that we do, right? So if you look at our computers, they're not just enthusiast-built PCs. They're engineered PCs that not only perform, but that also looks very, very good, right? And if you look at this new, you know, Forma chair, we engineered a new chair. It's designed from grounds up to be the best gaming chair. And I think the idea behind Maingear is not just to design these amazing products, engineer these amazing products, it's to enable you, right? So like if you want to be the next big streamer or gamer or esports athlete or even like if you want to be the next big lawyer or engineer, whatever you choose, or musician, the idea is for you to use Maingear. Right, like use Maingear tools, and we're gonna enable you and give you the tools so you can perform at your best. So you can be next, right? You can be the next big thing, and that's why we exist. So check out our website, maingear.com. You can see what our PCs are all about, and check out our chair. If you have a local Micro Center store, go check it out and evaluate.
We're not afraid of that. You're gonna
compare it to the other chairs that are on the floor and evaluate it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So
cool. I think that's gonna be at the. It's been a long week.
Ron. It's been a long week. I get it, my friend. I get it.
I think that's it for this week. So make sure to tune in, like and subscribe, follow us on social media, and we'll be back next week with more news. Thanks, guys.
Peace.